Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. It is Tuesday evening. It is 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And yes, it is actually, it's 8:03. Oh well, close enough for government inspection tonight. But we are here. We are live back once again with another mind-altering, life-changing, mind-expanding episode of Raw Islam here on the Venn Network. And we are going to jump right into this episode tonight because we have a very special guest from the University of Tampa. But I'll let him introduce his guest because it is his show, because if you look this up, it is Raw Islam with Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes. Okay. Good evening all to all our listeners across the world, to our listeners from Japan, to South Africa, the UK, Canada, America, and more. We welcome you all as you live stream here on Facebook tonight. We are here with the Venn Network and Carl Dodge and Imam Azhar, but we're coming to you live tonight from the University of Tampa, where I just finished a four-hour dual session.
Yes.
With two classes pertaining to Islam and the questions many of the students have regarding Islam when they study it so well with Professor Jennifer Battaglia, who is here, and she is a professor of world religions here in the Tampa University of Tampa. So without further ado, Jennifer Battaglia.
Hello. I'm actually Jennifer Battaglia, but that's okay. Battaglia. I'm an adjunct professor here at the University of Tampa since 2011. I've been teaching world religions since, and it's beautiful. I love it.
And, you know, I would love to start off by asking Jennifer, Carl, that, you know, have you heard of world religions, Carl?
Like, conceptually, yes.
And did you ever think that this would be a subject that would be so vital in our world, especially based on the climate in our world today?
Sorry, I was just getting the word out on Twitter that we are live. It is a conversation, because I know when I was, you know, when I was coming through school, world religions was actually a required course and you had to take that. And the amount of stuff that you learned that we didn't know and we didn't understand, you could write volumes on it, which they did because there was a textbook for the class, but it was a lot to undertake and it was a lot to understand. And, you know, but there's the similarities. And so in order for us to understand everybody else's similarities so that we can start building together to, you know, make a better universe for all of us to live in, we have to understand each other and our similarities.
Correct. And so, Jennifer, my question, I have a few questions for you tonight. I would love you to announce to our audience and your audience and to everyone tonight about the Parliament of World Religions. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, what motivated you to not only take this on, but actually lead this in an institution in a university like the University of Tampa, which is prestigious, which is known? What was your calling? How did you feel that this is something you need to do? Do you feel that this was your calling, or did you feel that this was your contribution to our world, or this is something that you feel is your legacy that will live beyond you?
You mean teaching here at University of Tampa? Actually, I was a student here at University of Tampa, so I feel a great sense of responsibility for this campus and how it moves forward. And as a student, I started a program called PEACE, People Exploring Active Community Experiences.
Wow.
And it's still in existence today. So when I moved to Massachusetts for graduate school, and I lived there for 14 years.
What part of Massachusetts did you move to?
I lived in Cambridge, and then I lived in Somerville and Billerica and Lowell and Salem. The list goes on. It depends on what religion I was studying.
I used to live in Nashua.
Oh, okay. Not too far. We used to go there to shop. No taxes. Yeah.
The secret is out. The cat is out of the bag. And she's a Harvard graduate.
Yes, I went to Harvard Divinity School. After graduating from the University of Tampa, I went to Europe and studied there for a little bit. And then I was accepted at the Divinity School, so I went there. And I got lost in Massachusetts and New England and all of its wonderful, glory, progressive ideals. And it's just really synced with me. But then there was a real pull for me to come back to Florida. And part of it was my father's getting older, and I had been away from him for 14 years. And it's just that, I just felt that call to come back. What I didn't know was that University of Tampa was hiring a world religions professor. And it's actually the only class that they teach in religion at this university. What I find hopeful, though, is when I was a student here, and I tell my students this all the time, in the early 90s, they offered it every 3 years. So as a major of philosophy and a minor of religion, I had one chance to take world religions in the 4 years I was here. They now have five of us at least teaching two courses apiece. So there's 10 courses per semester offered for this course. And it's not mandatory for every major either. So a lot of students are put in it because it meets other requirements. But some actually, I'm finding more and more are wanting to come, especially into the way I teach the class, because I do focus on the similarities. We talk about the differences, but we all know about them. We hear a lot about the differences. So what we talk about a lot is where the differences lie and how we understand God, truth, ultimate reality. But our common goal is here. And every religion talks about that. So I think that's why students appeal, that's their appeal to the course. And if it's not, it becomes their appeal after, is that their eyes are open.
So basically the driving force in my understanding in the past was people were taught this regardless if they liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were being taught, they were not living in such a divisive world as we are right now. And since those divisions are being highlighted with the yellow, orange, pink, and blue highlighter at the same time, it's standing up like a sword to the eye, and people want to know. So I come in every so often, Carl, and to our listeners, to Jennifer's class, and I have an opportunity to answer their questions and queries after Jennifer has taught them quite extensively about the Islamic faith and tradition. And tonight, both classes were full. We had not a single seat available. We actually had a student sitting on the floor in the first class. And that's because people want to know. And it takes me back to what a parent said at the White House to President Trump after the Parkland shooting.
Mm.
One of his child was lost in the Sandy Hook shooting. And he had initiated this organization for understanding and so on and so forth. And he said something that stuck to me till this day. And that was, if we focus too much on unity, we will create compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And if we focus too much on differences, we will create a divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But if we focus on what's in common, if we focus on relatedness,
mm-hmm.
we will create a common platform where unity will be formed and divisiveness will go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such an amazing thing, because some may perceive, okay, we're teaching Islam right now, it's because you're trying to counter the Islamophobia that's mm-hmm. out there. But in reality, you're not looking at the hot topic of the day or the year, but you're really enriching them. So if any other faith comes under scrutiny, or if any people are demonized or dehumanized, as we spoke about today, they have the ability to make that decision. My second question to you would be then, how important do you feel it is for people, regardless if they're students here, any other university in America or in the world? And actually, you know what, Carl, let's take out universities. Any human being today, how important do you feel world religions is, the knowledge of it, the know-how of who are Christians, Buddhists? Because if you ask me about Buddhists, I would say to you there is a sourness in my mouth. And you say, why? And I would say because our social media feeds are showing us Muslims are being tortured and killed in Myanmar by the preaching of a Buddhist monk. And so that's wrong. That is wrong for me to think that way. But if I don't learn about the essence of Buddhism, one Buddhist monk's ideology supersedes the reality of the faith, how destructive is that? So based on that, how important do you feel this is for me and others?
It's vital. I think it's vital, and I think that's what we're seeing. Even if the students don't realize it, once they're here, they realize it. And then the word gets out. Like, I can't imagine how many students have come to me or emailed me, like, I need this course. Like, I need my horizon expanded, my eyes opened, because they really are, they know they're ignorant, and no one's teaching them. And they're too afraid to ask questions of people that they're supposed to fear, or the other, or they don't know. So what I say to them is, this is our opportunity.
Yes.
We have a whole semester together, and we may not have all voices at this table, but we have enough variety where we can start learning how to communicate with each other.
Sure.
Here are some guidelines. Mm-hmm. You know, we need some guidelines in how to respect each other, because it can get hostile at times if we don't frame things properly.
Correct.
Or own our statements, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So by creating those parameters and allowing the space, it's amazing how much they learn from each other, and then they learn about the world, not just religions, but how those religions can be tools in their life, even if they're not part of that religion. For example, Buddhism and meditation. They don't have to be Buddhist to meditate, but they find benefit in meditation when they try it, right?
That's amazing.
So, and then I relate that to, like, contemplative prayer and how other religions have also done that. So they, once they get the grasp of what each religion is saying in its purest form, anything that the outside world starts to tell them about that, like when I mentioned the Buddhist in Myanmar kicking out the Muslims and murdering, they had no clue. And when they learned about it, they were like, that's nothing of what we learned in Buddhism. So they get the disconnect between the purity of the message within the religions and the human fallibility of inaction, or how we implement it.
True. And, you know, Carl, I was just teaching this over the weekend in Dallas, and I told the people one of the practices that I'm teaching in, I'm doing a course around the country. Mm-hmm. I've been working on it for 2 years. It's called How to Be a Living Quran in the 21st Century.
Mm.
How you can actually be that which you preach to others.
Right.
And one of the core practices or prescriptions for the first chapter of the Quran is to meditate.
Mm.
And the Quran actually asks, do you not meditate on the Quran? It's something that as Muslims we feel is non-existent. And meditation is to clean the air between you and God and to remove all those, the cluster of matters and issues and problems, so that you can shelve them and then you and God have a direct connection. If you don't clean up house, if I don't clean the table and I just serve food, the food, as good as it looks, the table around it take away its beauty. So meditation is a really powerful tool that even in the Muslim community, Carl, we don't talk much about. But what Jennifer just said right now is exactly, you know, that's the answer. It's vital. It's vital for us to know about the other. And the fact that we are ignorant about each other tells how far we've gone back. But you know what's worse, Jennifer, is when people feel that they don't need to know. They have an opportunity, like you're India, you're Hindus and Muslims, and you just don't want to know about Hindus, or you just don't want to know about Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me back to exactly what you said. Ultimately, there's going to be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I never learned who you and you never learned who I was from me.
Mm-hmm.
We learned it from our own people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the he say, she say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very destructive. Carl.
And I'm actually going to follow that with a Facebook comment from one of our online watchers. Her name is Ariana, and she says, and it actually feeds right into exactly what you're saying. It says, as a senior in high school, many of my classmates have absolutely no interest in world religion and voice it very strongly. When I try to begin a discussion as someone very interested in religion, I get shut down very quickly because none of my classmates want to discuss or learn. So sad. And I'm glad to hear there are students out there willing to out there learning and educating themselves. And we're going to follow that up with another comment. Layla Salams, thank you for joining us this evening. She says, Jennifer, you're doing great work. She is very interested in comparative religions, mainly with Christianity and Islam, since she is a revert. And Layla, you and I will get into that debate between revert and convert later. It's a beautiful feeling when I see people of other faith coming together to educate each other based on common grounds. She has discovered that we are not very much different and our holy books share a unified message. Back to you in the studio.
Well, again, you know, Carl, what bothers me is the first comment of Ariana that you're at school. Just let's take this differently. You're at a restaurant.
Right.
And you don't want to eat. You know how odd that looks? The waitress comes up. What would you like tonight? I don't want to eat. So the question is,
then why are you here?
Well, fine. Let's take it that route. Why are you here? It has changed so dramatically the system of how not only we absorb knowledge, but when we absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nowadays, even at schools, there's a trend where there's no inclination towards learning.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming to school, but you don't want to learn. And when these important things are being taught, it's at the crucial moment of life where they need to make those decisions. So they don't have much buffer zone. If they're learning how to balance their checkbook now,
mm-hmm.
when they're away from their homes,
right.
Why didn't they learn that before? They're learning that there's differences in our world. Why didn't we learn that before?
Mm-hmm.
They're learning that the world is bigger than how we see it. And it's a question. It's an example I always give to my students when we talk about the world. It's like a frog in a well.
Mm-hmm.
And the frog is always complaining that he's stuck in this small, confined space. But little did he realize that the flies are coming every day, so he's got his food.
Mm-hmm.
He could sleep peacefully with nothing bothering him. But he kept on complaining. And one day the water in the well rose and threw him out.
Mm.
And when he got out, he saw the world was so big. It was huge. There was so much to it. But now his complaint of his confined space left him, but his concerns grew. Where am I going to find food? Where am I going to sleep tonight? Will I continue to eat and survive, or will someone eat me for their survival?
Mm.
So what happens is, he thought that everything was fine until he realized there's the next step, which is much greater than himself. And our students are living in the same world that we are. And the challenges that we're facing today are only going to be passed off to them tomorrow. So what could you answer for Ariana before we go to the last point? And I want to thank Jennifer. She's taken her time. She's taught extensively today. She has papers tomorrow. But what would be your thought or your message to Ariana when she says, I'm telling my friends, hey guys, let's learn about it. Like, you know what? Who gives? We don't want to. What would you say?
Maybe take it upon yourself, Ariana, and learn on your own. And instead of asking them to engage in something they know nothing about, maybe ask them a question. Hey, did you know this about Islam? Did you know that women wear the hijab to emulate Mary. Do you know how many students don't know that? Mm. And when they hear that, they feel a connection to their own religion, if they're Christian, you know? So then the connection starts. So I think maybe posing a question, did you know that Sikhs are the ones who wear turbans in our culture? If you're seeing someone with a turban, most likely it's going to be a Sikh. It's not going to be a Muslim. But why do we think Muslims wear turbans? Because of the images that we saw after 9/11 with turbans and beards, and always over and over we had that same visual. So now Sikhs are, you know, seen as Muslims, and it's a totally different religion. And it's the fifth largest religion in the world. Yes, so when they hear that, they're like, I didn't even know this religion existed, let alone that it was the fifth largest in the world. And it came from India.
And from where? A corner of India. It's like Amritsar and Punjab is like a corner of India, but the fifth largest religion in the world. You're right. So again, I think, Ariana, that's amazing what Jennifer said. It's just spark a conversation, dialogue with this stuff. But you know what, Carl? I think tonight what Jennifer said, what Ariana expressed her concerns, just goes to show there's a lot of work to do. And this work has to be done on a personal level, a community level, and then a global level. Mm-hmm. And for the global level, Carl, I think that's also important because if we can hit key leaders and faith representatives that stand and preach to 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people a week or more, mm-hmm. I think this is the only way that we're going to come together. And so, did you know, Carl, there are opportunities in our world where that could happen?
Yes, I do, because in my capacity, in my day job, I am actually in contact with the Interaction Council. And they are it's a council of nonprofit organizations, most of which are faith-based, and we come together regularly. I know we were actually having a podcast conversation, and it was really weird to be sitting down with, you know, this nonprofit that had a podcast and that nonprofit that had a podcast and this nonprofit that had a podcast. And in the back of my brain the whole time, I'm thinking, in a couple of months, the next awards are open, and it's you and me, man. We're going to go.
Well, I was just telling Jennifer that, you know, we were officially nominated in 2017.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, and again, it wasn't our goal. We didn't set out to do that, but our goal was to get a message across. So, Carl, there's another platform. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Jennifer for allowing me to be a guest speaker at the university, as I'm also a volunteer spiritual advisor here at the university. But there's something really big, and I want Jennifer to talk about it and tell our audience about it.
So actually, and Mom and I and four other people have just sent in a proposal for the Parliaments of World Religions. It's the seventh one that's happened since 1893. The last one was in Utah and 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is that the parliaments are happening more often because we need leaders and lay people from all religions or secular ideologies to come together and realize this is what we all have in common. Let's acknowledge, they came up with a global ethic in 1993 at the Parliament of World Religions. I can link it if you want. But in it, it's all the religions coming and saying, this is what we see is wrong with the world. We all agree with it. We don't need new ideas. We have ancient guidelines. Sort of what you were saying to my students, we need to make the religions flowers amongst all the weeds again. You know, like, so what can we do in each of our pods to come together? We acknowledge that there's all this agony and devastation and atrocities, even happening in the name of our ideologies. But we're humans. What are we going to do collectively? We acknowledge it. Now what are we going to do? And that's what the parliament is about. And this year, I have to read it because it's kind of long. But this year's is focused on the promise of inclusion, the power of love, pursuing global understanding, reconciliation, and change.
Beautiful.
And that's what we're proposing as a panel discussion.
Sure.
From different perspectives, talking about the next generation, focusing on how we can support and motivate and include ourselves in the next generation's fight or whatever, you know, for justice, for because they're starting to speak up. And if I'm a professor and you're an imam and we're from a different generation and we're writing rules and regulations for a generation that we're not connected to, that doesn't have a voice at the table, we're lost.
Yeah.
And that's where we're, interfaith movements on campus are trying to bring students together to start talking about this by engaging in community work while talking to each other so that we're working in the world. We're not just talking.
Exactly. It's a dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation. So, you know, Carl, the world religion, the Parliament of World Religions is taking place this year from September 1st to September 7th.
That's November.
November,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. November 1st to November 7th in Toronto, Canada, where our condolences from on behalf of the listeners and the hosts and our guests go out to those who have lost their lives in Toronto in this senseless crime, which is an act of terror that's constantly terrorizing people, which we'll talk about next week. We have a lot to talk about. But until then, this is a proposal that Jennifer and a few friends have sent forward. We ask you all for your prayers that the proposal is accepted so that we can present our vision, our views, our goals to bring a line that could merge seamlessly this current generation and the next generation, and that we could bring forth the results that faith preaches and teaches from our lives to their lives. And again, the frustration is, Carl, this last thing I'll say is, we've been talking too much about our faiths, but we haven't been demonstrating the results that are required through the action of faith. So it's about time that we bring forth the practical aspect, because it's a sad state of affairs where people of all faiths, of all the next generation from all different faiths feel that there is a disconnect and that we have now acknowledged the need to reconnect with them.
And I will follow up with some more Facebook comments that we have. Ariana has said that she will be taking comparative religion when she attends college this fall. And
wonderful.
Layla challenged me to a Twitter war after the show based on convert versus revert. But unfortunately, that's going to have to wait because it's dinner time after this for me. So, yeah.
No, but you know, we want to thank Jennifer before we end the show for taking our time so graciously. And you know, Jennifer, you know, I hardly say this to you, but you are a great inspiration for me of what you're doing here. And it's amazing that how many lives you're touching because of something that you believe in that includes everyone. And just for them to just know that, you know, I feel that I'm not a person who's out there to say, okay, you have to convert. But if you could just know who I am and who someone else is, that's really the game changer. Because your life is your life, my life is my life, and we have our goals to accomplish goodness on this earth and serve, you know, in our capacity. So I want to thank you for the work you're doing here. It's very important. And thank you for having me as a part of your class. Whenever you do teach, you do email me, let me know. And I want to ask our listeners, and we're going to tag her to this on Facebook so that she could be a part of this, but to appreciate that there are people out there known as teachers that give their all, they give their life, they give their time, they give up everything only so that they could enrich your minds and souls. And that's priceless. That's really priceless. So appreciate all those that teach you anything. And the best appreciation is not to just sit respectfully, but then to live by those ideals and values that you take home from those words and those texts. So thank you so much.
Thank you for always coming in and allowing my students to put a face to something. You have such a humble, wonderful face. It is a great face to a religion that is often misunderstood. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another life-altering episode of the Raw Islam Podcast. I would like to thank everybody that joined us this evening on Facebook, everybody that will be downloading this in the future, everybody that will be watching this on YouTube. And yes, if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, head over to YouTube, look for the Venn Network. You know, it looks, this side over here, it looks like that. Yeah, I can't figure that out. But anyway, it's the reversed camera thing. It gets me every time. But head over to YouTube, look for the Venn Network, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. These are on there on replay, and they're a little edited and cleaned up, and the audio's all pertified and everything else. Make sure you head over to thevennetwork.org so you can get your own Venn Network t-shirt. You can help support the host. You can help support the network. And you can also subscribe to us, join us on Patreon to help support the network and support the hosts and the other great shows that we have on the network. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Everybody, I already went over this. Download in the future, blah, 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 blah. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, from Raw the Islam, with the Imam with the prettiest face in podcasting, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.